First up today, the big fight in Jefferson City over tax cuts. Governor Jay Nixon was at UMKC yesterday and talked in unusually spirited terms about what's at stake. Nixon pointed to what he calls a major mistake in the writing of a tax bill, which would result in most Missourians not having to pay any income taxes, or maybe just a little. Republicans said the governor was overstating the problem. Still, Nixon said the future of Missouri government was very much on the line. Teachers would be laid off, he said. The schools would shut their doors. Prisons would close. Mental health facilities would be shuttered. And the state's AAA credit rating we've boasted of for decades would be downgraded. Here to talk about the issue is Amy Bluen. She's executive director at the Missouri Budget Project, and she opposes this tax cut. Amy, nice to have you again. Welcome.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Patrick Ishmael is also here. He's a policy analyst with the Show Me Institute. Patrick, nice to have you too. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Amy, your organization opposes the tax cut. Tell us why.
Sure. Well, we know that the legislative intent of the bill is to reduce state revenue significantly. By our estimate, state revenue would be cut by about $800 million annually when it's fully implemented, which would harm negatively, severely our schools, including K-12 through higher education, mental health, health care, public safety, and all other state services. Just to give that some context, the actual bill would reduce state revenue to the extent of one-fourth of the K-12 funding formula. It's more money than Missouri spends on mental health services each year. It's more money than the state uses to support higher education each year. So it's a significant cut, and we believe that it would have damaging effects for individuals, our communities, but also our economy.
Patrick, you just heard Amy say it's too much of a cut, too big of a cut. What do you say to that?
Well, I certainly don't think it's too much of a cut. I think it's a step in the right direction, in fact. And when you're talking about individual income taxes being cut by 0.1% a year, contingent on revenue increases to the state, it seemed like a pretty prudent approach and one that, frankly, I don't think goes far enough, but it is certainly a start. And I certainly think that the language that the governor has a problem with sounds like Amy doesn't have a problem with the language like the governor does, because she's still talking about losing $800 million a year. That analysis by the Missouri Budget Project, of course, presumes that the language of the legislation itself doesn't eliminate the top bracket of the tax code. And I think it's pretty clear that, you know, you talk to someone like former Supreme Court Justice Price, who issued a memorandum yesterday about it, the notion that it would eliminate the top bracket, I think, is pretty tenuous at best. But even if you look at the Missouri Budget Project's own assumptions, they don't even think that the governor's right on this.
You know, Amy, what about that? This notion, I want to go back to what Patrick said just a minute ago, that these tax cuts are only contingent upon increasing revenue flowing into the state. Wouldn't that potentially offset the amount of the tax cuts that you fear so much?
Well, actually, it doesn't. We've looked at what Patrick's referring to is the trigger mechanism that applies to a portion of the bill. And that would require state revenue to grow by $150 million per year before the next phase-in of the bill happens. We've done an assessment of that. And let me just say, it would not, the $150 million does not even allow Missouri to keep pace with inflation, let alone restore the services that have already been cut because of the recession this decade. You know, K-12 education funding is already more than $600 million under its required funding levels. We know mental health and other critical services have already been cut during the last decade. And we also know that tuition has increased for public universities by almost 100% in the last decade, too. So all of that is to say that the trigger, quote-unquote, trigger does not really provide the safeguards that legislators think it does.
Patrick, let's step back and look at this tax cut from the 10,000-foot vantage point, if we can, just for a moment. Governor Nixon, and I guess it's probably a fairly agreed-upon fact, you know, Missouri, Governor Nixon always says what a low-tax state Missouri is. It is a low-tax state. Why do we need to cut taxes more given that?
Oh, well, I would disagree with that assumption. In fact, I wrote a piece in Forbes just a couple weeks ago about this very subject.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at sales taxes combined, state and local, we're 13th or 14th in the country. Income taxes were about average, and when it comes to property taxes, we're about average. And so if of the three major taxes that fund government, we're at average or above, it's kind of by definition we can't really be a low-tax state. And you know, when folks talk about us being a low-tax state, you know, you don't have to prove that we're a high-tax state. You just have to prove that we're uncompetitive when it comes to tax policy. And I think it's pretty clear, you know, there are lots of factors for why Missouri has economic problems. But I think it's pretty clear that tax policy does play a role. And you only have to look back and look at the Boeing special session. I mean, we had, you know, over 100 legislators from both sides of the aisle saying we need to give $2 billion to this one corporation. And because tax policy matters. But when we have the same opportunity to cut taxes for everyone, it sounds like everyone's hedging all of a sudden. And I don't understand exactly why. It's better policy, quite frankly, if we're going to make investments in the economy, to diversify that investment. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to cut taxes, which right now in the state of Missouri really aren't that low.
Amy, are we a low-tax state or a high-tax state?
Well, I would actually disagree with some of Patrick's assumptions. I think that he is correct that in terms of our sales taxes, we are higher. But there's a reason for that. It's because of our, in terms of state and local sales taxes, we are higher. And there's a reason for that, and it is that states that have lower state revenue in terms of income tax revenue are the ones that have higher local taxes.
But doesn't that play to Patrick's point, Amy?
Well, I think that there's a distinction here between something that is sustainable and something that's not. You know, it really, when we look at our revenue overall in Missouri, we are one of the lowest in the nation in terms of per capita revenue. We are not yet fully recovered from the recession, so we are not able to fully fund our foundation formula for K through 12 education, which is a critical component of driving economic growth. You know, businesses, when they look for a place to expand and locate, are looking for that high quality education, a strong workforce, strong communities, public safety, quality of life indicators. And most of the robust academic research on this indicates that all of that is much more important to business location and expansion decisions than tax policy. Tax policy just doesn't drive the economic growth that proponents of this cut say it will. And the cut also is largely imbalanced. It reduces taxes significantly for very wealthy individuals and doesn't do much for middle-class Missourians.
Patrick, I gather you disagree with all that.
I would disagree with that. I would note also that Missouri's combined local and state sales taxes are higher than the combined local and state sales taxes of Florida, which has no income tax at all. So I would question the assumption that sales taxes are automatically higher for states that don't bring in enough in income taxes. Florida certainly doesn't have an income tax. But, you know, you look at this bill, too. I mean, there are lots of middle-class folks who make more than $9,000, and as part of the bill, I believe there's a deduction that increases the deductibility for those who are in the lower income bracket. So,
well, let me do this, Patrick. Let me turn to what Governor Nixon had to say, because we're going to get too deep in the weeds here. I don't want to lose our listeners. But what Governor Nixon had to say yesterday was that there's been a drafting mistake in the language of the bill, the tax cut bill, that would result in basically most Missourians walking away from the lion's share of their income tax responsibilities. Now, he's saying the state's in dire straits if this bill ends up becoming law. A lot of Republicans are saying he's full of you-know-what, and I'm wondering what you say to that, Patrick.
You know, I don't think that anyone was really making the assessment that the governor was making starting yesterday. Clearly, we have a former Supreme Court justice that found that the language of the law doesn't say what the governor says it does. If you look at the Missouri Budget Project's own assessment, Missouri Budget Project certainly didn't make that assessment themselves. Even if there is a problem, it's certainly an easy-to-fix problem. This isn't a steamroller that could not be avoided. And I guess I would also ask Amy, I mean, does she have any idea, for instance, in 2020, what the budgetary impact would be
Well, let me ask the questions here. Amy, what's your reaction to what Governor Nixon had to say yesterday?
Well, you know, I am not an attorney, so I cannot say whether or not, you know, that assessment is correct. But our feeling on the matter is that, you know, why risk it? Do we really want to risk a $4.8 billion cut to the state's budget when, unlike what Patrick said, we cannot reverse that in Missouri? The Constitution restricts lawmakers' ability to increase taxes once they are decreased.
The Hancock Amendment you're talking about, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we will not, you know, and unlike what happened in Kansas, and lawmakers in Kansas have attempted to fix some of the problems with what they created over there. But in Missouri, we can't do that. It's just not that simple. And this is a pretty big risk to take.
Well, lots of issues on the table. It's going to be interesting to see how lawmakers in Jefferson City respond to all this. And we'll be watching this very closely at KCUR News. I want to thank Amy Bluen with the Missouri Budget Project and Patrick Ishmal. He's a policy analyst with the Show Me Institute. Thank you both for a good conversation. I appreciate it.